Good evening. You never know when opportunity will present itself. It's so important to be able to recognize when you have an opportunity, whatever it may be, and to take hold of it and to run with it. Years ago, when I was in high school, I think it was my freshman or sophomore year, we were in a science class. And of course, we got done with our work early, and we had about an hour the teacher allowed us to sit around and to talk and do whatever we needed to do, whether it's other classwork from other classes, whatever it may be. And I remember I pulled out a little pocket Bible, and I was sitting there just reading some. And one of the guys came over and was asking me, and we started talking about Scripture. Sadly, though, after that encounter, I would come every so often and talk to him and more and more. But eventually, once we graduated, I didn't stay in contact. Well, then, when it fast forward to my first holiday off from college, came home, and I remember my parents asking me, "Do you know a Rocky Steele?" And I said, "Oh yeah, he graduated with our class in high school. He had died in a house fire." And I remember I had an opportunity to help him find and know Christ. But that opportunity I did not take hold of and stick with it. And at that point, I never knew if he ever came to Christ or if he ever gave his life to Christ. Never knew it. But once again, opportunities to present itself, and it's important that we take hold of them, especially when it comes to teaching someone the truth. And you'll be surprised when things pop up and how they pop up. And so when we look at our walk with Christ, are we taking opportunities to speak to people, to teach people the truth? And there are plenty of lost souls out there. So when we look at our main text in Colossians chapter 4, what we have here is Paul writing to the Colossians. And at this point, he's in chains. He's imprisoned. But I guarantee you, Paul has taken every opportunity to preach to the guards, to fellow prisoners. Paul is not one that would shy away, and we'll talk more about one of his adventures here in a little bit. But when we look, staying alert through prayer, and that's what we have with verse 2 here, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. When we look at prayer, it is important that we pray, that we communicate with God. And asking for our eyes to be open to opportunities that will present themselves. Asking God to be with us through these periods where we are talking to people, helping us and guiding us through His Word in order to point out truth. Prayer is a powerful tool that we have on our side. Communicating with God will also help us stay vigilant against temptations that come our way. It's so important. In Matthew chapter 26, verses 40 through 41, we have the scene in the garden going on. Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, "What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." They could not stay up 1 hour and watch. They fell asleep. But what Christ says, watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. We know soon after they all scattered when the guards come and they arrest Christ. We see Peter denies Christ 3 times. The only one that is by the side of Christ when he is on the cross is John. John, who remains faithful, John is not afraid. But we see here, pray lest you enter into temptation. We know Christ, he would go off by himself at times to be with the Father. And that was in prayer. That was praying to his Father, communicating with his Father. We even see it in the garden. He goes and he prays and he asks, let this cup pass from me. If not, let your will be done. Christ was a praying man. He taught his apostles, his future apostles, how to pray. To give reverence to God. To pray that they do his will, that God's will be done. And so he teaches them how to pray. It is so important that we pray daily and that we are communicating with the Father. That's one thing that I do give Muslims. They are very on schedule with their prayers. Now, how they are praying is a different story. We know that we are not to keep saying the same words over and over. We are to say the same words over and over. I can't think tonight. But we understand how we are to pray. And so when temptation strikes, we go to the Father. We run to him. We pray. We communicate, Father, help me. And what we ask of him, he will give us. As long as we come in faith. And when we look at 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. This is Paul instructing Timothy. Therefore, I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. How important is it to pray for others? We see multiple times the apostles asking the churches to pray for them, that they may reach more lost souls, that more lost souls would accept the truth and come to Christ. I pray for plenty of people. I pray that the lost do hear the truth and accept it. We should not want anyone to go to hell. God desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth. Now that doesn't mean they will always do so. But we should pray for these individuals, especially kings and people of authority, our leaders. Pray for these men and these women who lead our country. Prayer is powerful. I have seen plenty of prayers answered. I have seen my own prayers answered. I remember at one point my grandmother, we put her into the nursing home. And I remember, you know, that's where she would remain until the end of her life. I would visit her two or three times a week. But I remember the doctor telling us when she had the big stroke, it would either, one, take her and she would pass, or it would leave her as a vegetable. And I remember praying to God, asking, if that happens, take her. I would rather her be taken and gone and passed on than to be left as a vegetable. And a few years down the road, that's exactly what happened. I wasn't there to see her pass, but she was taken home. And so it's important that we pray not just for those who are lost, but our brothers and sisters. Paul is asking here in our main text for the church in Colossae to pray for him. And we'll get to why they were praying for him here in a minute. But in Ephesians 6, 18 through 20, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Once again, to the Ephesians, he's asking for prayer that he may speak with his mouth boldly and make known the mystery of the gospel to who? The Gentiles. Paul went to the Gentiles to speak the truth, to bring them to the knowledge of Christ, to free them from sin. Once again, prayer is important when we are dealing with daily life. And we should be praying that God opens our eyes, shows us opportunities that pop up, that present themselves in order to share the gospel. Are we? Yes, it's important to pray for preachers, to pray for elders, to pray for missionaries. Absolutely, they're doing the work of the Lord, but how about us? Are we praying that God may open our eyes to these opportunities so we can take hold of these opportunities? I know a lot of people, they get nervous, scared, maybe, of approaching someone and talking about Christ. It's a hard thing to do because we never know how people will react. I remember in school, we were told about this one preacher. He would go into grocery stores and he would come out with 10 Bible studies. That's pretty amazing. Came out, went into the grocery store and came out with 10 Bible studies. I don't know what he said or how he did it. There are ways to go about it, but I remember praying, let me be like that. Would love to get a hold of people and to study, to have plenty of Bible studies, to study with lost souls. Do we pray like that? Or do we not pray at all? A Christian who doesn't pray is one who is struggling, one who will eventually give in to temptation and to sin. It will not take hold of the opportunities they are given. And since that young man who died, I'll be honest, I have missed out on opportunities that I should have taken hold of and ran with. But I pray that God will continue to open my eyes and show me opportunities to preach and teach to people. And I pray that I am boldly and courageously going to take hold of those opportunities. So important. Prayer is important, and that's why we see in all of Paul's letters, that's why we see the disciples, when Christ ascended, they go back to the upper room, they prayed, they spent time praying. It's a powerful tool that we have. And so, do we take hold of these opportunities? When we look at Paul's time in his mission work, in Acts 17, verses 22 through 24, then Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus, and I know I mispronounced that. I heard it over and over, and said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious, for I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.' Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing, him I proclaim to you, God who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands." Paul, in Greece, going through these Gentile lands, comes across these statues to many gods, but one statue he picked out, he saw it, came to his view, to the unknown God. Does he pass on? Does he decide, you know what? I'm not going to get into this. He takes hold of the opportunity. You know, when I would door knock, I would always look at people's yards when I walked up. And you could find things of interest that they were into. And that's a great talking point. That's a great starting point, is talking about one guy had a bunch of Pittsburgh Steelers stuff. And I know sports enough to get through. But sitting there and talking about the Steelers with him. And then you slowly get into talking about Christ. Ask him where he worships. And so it's important that we catch these things, because they will open up an opportunity as well. I remember one preacher in particular told me there was a man who lived on his street who was not a Christian, but he loved NASCAR. And so what he started doing was watching NASCAR, keeping up with the drivers, the stats. He saw an opportunity to get close with the guy. And fast forward a few months later, the man came to Christ and was baptized for the remission of his sins. He took hold of that opportunity and he ran with it. He held on to it. And so we see that with Paul here. He took hold of an opportunity. He did not hesitate to take what this statue said and to teach about God. We see in places like 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. And this is a charge that Paul gives to Timothy. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Whether it's in season or out of season, whether it wants to be heard or doesn't want to be heard, we are to preach and teach. Yes, there comes a time when an opportunity may close. You're working with an individual, and that opportunity may come to an abrupt end because they don't agree. They'll never listen. You got to move on. It happens. Don't feel like you have failed in any way, but pick yourself back up and continue pursuing opportunities to preach Christ, to teach people. An opportunity closed on me at one time. Me and a buddy of mine were door knocking in, was it Cookeville? I think it was in Indiana, actually. It was in Indiana. We were door knocking. We came across a man who was an atheist. The opportunity lasted maybe a second or two before, and he told us, I'm not interested, keep moving. Quick opportunity that was shut down fast. And so, once again, you'll have things like that. Don't let them hold you down. As well as, there's going to be questions that you're asked that you don't know the answer to. What I've learned to do is say, I don't know, I'll get back with you. That's going to open up an opportunity to come back and study with that individual. Opportunities will open up to us. But are we willing to take hold of those opportunities and to pursue them? Christ, throughout his ministry, never let go of an opportunity to preach, to teach. He took hold of every opportunity. The apostles took hold of every opportunity. Philip, with the Ethiopian eunuch, ran towards that carriage, that chariot, to jump in and study with the man. He ran towards him. Peter and others would go into these cities and would find opportunities to preach and teach. They held on to them. But they were always, as well, praying for each other that these things would come, that they would hold true to the truth, and that they would stand firm, even when people did not want to hear it. Paul, at times, he finally got his way and went to Rome. And I guarantee, even before Caesar, he found the opportunity to preach. Once again, it is hard. It's a hard thing to do. But when we do take hold of the opportunities and we help save a lost soul, and they come to Christ, there's no better feeling than that, knowing that we have done exactly what our Lord and Savior wanted us to do, and that we now have gained a brother or sister in Christ. But it can also be a sad thing, too, when they choose to reject the truth, to walk away from it. And so, will you take hold of an opportunity when it comes before you? Be watching, be vigilant, not only for the opportunity, but also for yourself. Pray. Have a prayer life this new year. Focus on praying and asking for God's guidance. Pray that opportunities will be presented and you can take hold of it. But also be ready as well, knowing Scripture, knowing the truth, knowing how to defend it in order to help them understand. It's all there. There's plenty of lost souls out there that we can go and grab. Make a goal for yourself to maybe get one or two Bible studies a month. And that's not an unreachable goal. That's a goal that we should all have, an opportunity we need to take hold of. And so if you're here this evening, you have an opportunity. If you are lost, you have the opportunity to give your life to Christ. Take hold of it. Don't let it slip by. And this is how you do it. Hear the word, Romans 10, 17. Believe the word, John 3, 16 to 17. Repent of your sins, Acts 3, 19. Confess your faith in Christ, Romans 10, 10. And be baptized for the remission of your sins, Galatians 3, 26 through 27. But it doesn't stop there. You must remain faithful, Hebrews 10, 23. Or if you are a Christian and you've fallen back into your old ways, you have an opportunity as well to make your life right with Christ, to come forward with a penitent heart and to repent of your sins. Don't let it slip by, because eventually that opportunity will close and you will be looking at eternity, either in heaven or in hell. So take hold of this opportunity tonight and come forward and give your life to Christ, or renew your walk with Christ. If anyone needs assistance this evening, come while we stand and while we sing.